Okay. I know that you don't do things on Fridays. So I love that you made so many exceptions today. You're doing a podcast on Fridays. There's no preset agenda for it, and you're just going all in.
Yeah, I'm out of my comfort zone, but I'm doing it for you, Kate. I'm
I
doing
love
it for
it.
you.
Thank you, Candy. Oh, Candy, I wanted you on personally because obviously you're inspiration. You're a female in the entrepreneur space, in the real estate investing space, which I feel is like minority upon a minority, right? We sit in the room with real estate investors and 99% of them are male. And you've really learned to dominate your industry, I would say. You specialize in marketing, and I've worked with you guys specifically over the last couple of years and have seen you guys grow personally and professionally. And it's so exciting. I do have to say, I think your personal growth is so much more exciting to see, right? Like you guys are traveling so much and you're living like such a beautiful, happy life. And in a reflection of that, I think your business has really geared up and has matched that. So, anything that I left out that you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, there's, I think growth is just a huge theme throughout. In fact, 2025, we set for the company connection and growth as our two themes. So we're not stopping with the growth like mindset. And yeah, it's in every aspect. It's in the business, it's for ourselves, it's for the relationship. So like every single angle, like we're not stopping. How can you stop on growth? So we're definitely like on a roll for
I
sure.
love it. I love watching it. Like I said, we started working together a couple of years ago. Where has your growth trajectory in the workspace gone from the last like 3 or 4 years to now?
For myself personally in the business. So when we worked together, I don't even remember, Kate. I don't even know what year it is. It's so like, it's like a blur, you know? But at the when we worked together, I was just doing marketing, I want to say. And I might have done some special projects here and there over the years. But since then, I stepped into the operations role and was chief operating officer for, it's been almost 3 years. But I did that and marketing. So I was sort of like 1 foot here, 1 foot there. And I never really felt like I was doing anything really well because I was spread so thin. But since then, I have learned so much about holistically the business and real estate investing and, you know, soup to nuts, from inside sales, you know, all the way through closings and finance. So I got a really great overview of the business. And just boy, personal growth. There's a lot of stuff I've been working on with identifying traumas and working through that. Just so much growth, so much.
So, you know, trauma is like a popular word, I'll say, but also still like a taboo word, right? And so I've also gone down this. I think every entrepreneur sort of like stabilizes out in their professional growth before they start to really have to hit a wall and work on the trauma work or the deeper work, whatever, however you want to identify it. And so I've also gone down that road. And my God, the things that you don't know. So let's talk about that for a minute. What have you seen, or how have you seen that impact yourself and then your work?
Oh, this is like we're about to peel back some layers here, Kate. But just like you said, you know, like the business gets to like a plateau and then it causes you to like, you're stunted. Like, why are we stunted? And that's exactly what happened. So for me, like I have trauma around like being left out. And so for me, what was happening that I didn't even realize was that actions would take place, such as maybe a meeting would get canceled, but I wouldn't be invited, or something like that, where if you were just to take a step back and look at it objectively, maybe there was 20 million good reasons why I wasn't supposed to be invited, but I would have been like completely overreacting and like I'm left out, I'm right. And so then I would fight really hard to be included in everything and then spread myself thin. So it really took, you know, a coach coming in and saying, this is your issue. This is, and it's keeping you from growing because of this behavior. So it was really eye-opening to have that insight.
Were you not aware of that? That was like a trigger for you? Really?
I didn't really realize it was happening. I know it's like embarrassing but I'm just being transparent. Like I didn't even really notice it. And people would tell me like, you're overreacting, this and that. And I'm like, no, this is just how I feel. Like, and yeah, no, I was overreacting. I was triggered is what it was. Yeah.
So then, and I think most people, by the way, are like unconsciously aware is what you call it in that space. Like you're unconsciously aware of what your triggers are, what's unresolved trauma from your childhood. And so it shows up in this like being over dramatic in your physical reality. So what have you changed since you've become aware of it?
Oh, you know what, Kate, I wish I could say I figured it out and I'm on the path. I think what it's done is actually peel back even more layers to other complexities and other little micro traumas, spinoffs, right? When I am really in a good place, meaning when I show up with my 8 hours of sleep and all my water I'm supposed to drink and I'm eating all my meat, when I show up physically and mentally okay, then I'm able to be aware, hit the pause button, ask myself, like, do you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I think when I show up fully prepared physically and mentally, then I'm able to hit pause. Do you know what I mean? Before I speak, before I react. And if I've learned anything over the years, it's that when I get into a state where I'm just not taking care of myself for whatever reason, that I'm not able to show up and do the things I should be doing. That's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, because you like lose self-control when you're not mentally prepared and conditioning yourself to be able to control and take a pause. So let's go back for a minute. You said at the beginning, when you first started in the real estate investing space with a company, you were like doing multiple jobs at once. Do you think that that was in correlation to you not wanting to be left out?
No, because in the beginning, so I've worked alongside Joe since he started the company it's been about 9 years. And in the beginning, I started off like as a consultant for marketing. And so I would set up all of the CRMs and the social media, and then just by way of who I am, I would also help with some of the processes. And that was sort of like a foreshadowing that I'm actually super analytical and like to do the processes. So I started doing that. And then at some point, like COVID timeframe, I kind of came on at a more full-time capacity, ended up leaving my agency and came on like full-time marketing. But while I was in the marketing seat, like I remember I was away on a business trip and I got the phone call from the then COO that was like, hey, Candy, when you come back from the business trip, can you come back and run inside sales? We need you to get over here and kind of basically figure it out and fix it and create training. So I started taking on these side quests, if you will, while I was doing marketing. And I think because my personality is I get bored, I don't like repetitiveness. I like to get in and figure things out and move on. And so it just sort of organically happened. And then I ended up kind of stepping into the COO role. But as it turns out, me personally, I have found it incredibly difficult to manage, to have 7 direct reports, supposedly be running the company, which I'm not really, and then also do marketing. Like it's something has to give. And I don't want to work 12-hour days, 7 days a week. So for me, that it really didn't work. So to answer your question, in the beginning, I don't think it was. I think it was just organically I stepped in to help do things. But I am hyper aware right now that wasn't working. Seven people on my team plus it's too much, and I felt too all over the place. and like untethered and like, I need to have some focus here. And so that's kind of like where we are now is we're trying to, ironically, I'm spending more time in marketing and systems. So it's kind of funny how I'm doing like a full loop to kind of get back to roots.
It's like classic entrepreneurship though, right? And like running a small business. And also like you guys are in a growth trajectory. You guys have grown and really streamlined your company. And yep. I feel like with growth, you have to go back through all of the departments, so to speak, and sort of like redefine them for your new growth that you're in now, right? Because the same systems that worked then are not going to work now, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. Interesting.
Yeah.
And so you said when you're showing up different now and you show up best when you're prepared. So like what's Candy into? Like how's she getting prepared?
Oh my gosh.
What's like your morning routine? How often do you work out? What's this workout?
This is so, man, I don't even know how deep you want to even get into all this, but just based on my age and where I am in life, I've gone through some changes, let's just say. There's a whole bunch they don't even talk to you about. And it's chaos.
It's chaos.
It's chaos. That's all I got to say is chaos. Be prepared.
Okay.
And just know that. So like workout, like I've gone through phases in my life with what I do in terms of working out. I've gone through like a running phase where I did half marathons and even did a full marathon. I've done like yoga phases. I competed in powerlifting when I was 47.
No big deal.
It was just, I'll just do this. I go through phases. But I really believe like one of the most important things we can do is get movement in every day, like some kind of movement. If it's walking, running, whatever it is, roller skating, whatever, like float your boat, get some kind of movement in. Right now I strength train twice a week. And I do like a 90 minute hot yoga, like Bikram yoga on Mondays. And then I do like a hot Pilates, high intensity and interval training on Wednesdays. And then my weekends are kind of, I get in whatever feels right. Like a yoga class here and there. I'm actually in yoga teacher training right now on the side.
Of course.
Another Southwest. Right. I've got 3 more months and then
overachiever, I would expect nothing less.
but it's not really like I truly set boundaries and I truly like, I say no to things, you know? But I think for me, it's really important that I get some kind of movement in and I look forward to like when one day, should I ever become, dare I say, a grandmother, I want to be an active grandmother. I want to be able to sit down on the floor and play with the kids and get up and like hike with them and do things. So I'm thinking like, what are the little things I can do a few days a week just to keep my body moving and the joints and everything and strength so that I can be that person and I'm not suffering. You know, there's going to be pain, whether it's discomfort after a workout, or pain from you didn't take care of your body and you're dealing with some issues. So which pain do you want?
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. And so you're obviously very active. And so what are you doing with the mind? Like, are you journaling every morning? Are you doing meditation? Have you picked up on any of those sort of routines or habits yet?
Yeah, I think so. When I hate to say like I did a whole resolutions thing, but it was sort of timed with the new year.
That's fair.
I have a journal, but it's more like I'm tracking habits with this journal. I'm not really writing per se. If I'm journaling anything, it's about my dreams, so I can analyze what my dreams are telling me, because I really believe like dreams are our subconscious speaking to us.
Ooh, okay, I love it.
So if I can remember my dream, I'll jot it down and then I'll Google what it means. And like, yeah, basically it's just everything it tells me that I'm stressed out. So, so like, I mean, it's just basic stuff. Like, so January, here's the funny thing. So January, I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to floss more. I just want to floss my teeth more, right? So the month of January, I totally was like, I'll track that, right? In January, I killed it. It was awesome. So February, I'm like, okay, here are other things I want to start tracking. Mm. The second I don't track flossing, I'm not flossing as much. So I'm like, so just little things, right? But meditating, I would eventually like to work up to a daily practice. But right now, like for the month of February, for example, my goal is to do it 10 times. So I'm tracking it and I'm on track. I'll get 10 times in.
Yeah.
And what I normally do is I go on YouTube and I punch in 10-minute meditation for whatever the topic is.
Oh.
I'm usually at least in tune for in that moment, like, what do I need to work on? Is it positivity? Is it letting go? Is it like whatever the topic is, I'll do it. And then I'll do my 10 minutes and I'm trying to do it in the morning. But here's the thing, because I haven't been sleeping well, my morning routine is a little like wonky. I'm still trying to refine it and get the good sleep in.
So important. And you guys have been traveling a lot, right? Like, I see you all over the place, which I love. I know that you guys travel. So, and I personally know that whenever I travel, even if it's for 2 days, if I had any sort of morning routine that I was doing well with, it's out the window, right? I don't have the special corner to sit in, whatever excuse your brain gives you for not doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, what do you do with that?
When I'm traveling? Yeah. I'm weird. Like, I don't like repetitiveness because I get bored, but yet it grounds me for a routine. So yes, I love to travel. I love to try new foods and try new experiences and experience the culture, but then it completely throws me off. So
yeah,
yes, I'm incredibly blessed for this past year. We so much travel, including my number one bucket list location I went to, but it does throw me off. I mean, I don't know. I know we're different personalities, Kate, but like for me, I'm stressed out leading up to, because I have to get all the laundry done and pack and get all the things right. And then when I come back, I'm lucky if I'm unpacked and all the clothes are washed and put away a week later. Like that's kind of like a miracle. Mm. Like it really is disruptive to me. So I just try to do the best that I can. This last trip that we went on, we took anybody on the team that had been with us for at least the 6 months of 2024. And because we had a great year and we hit our numbers, there were 10 employees and 4 significant others. And we all went to the island of Vieques, Puerto Rico. It was beautiful. It was amazing. And while I was there, it was only like, we flew on Thursday. So we had all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, flew back on Monday. So 3 full days. And while we were there, I did my own little mini body weight strength training one day. And then I actually taught my first ever yoga class to 5 people that went on the trip. I was super grateful that they allowed me to
lead it. Yeah.
And it was amazing. So I taught a yoga class on the lawn in like overlooking the ocean. It was gorgeous. And then there was kayaking and snorkeling. And then one day, Joe and then 2 other employees, so there were 4 of us, went off snorkeling for 2 hours. But here's the kicker. 2 of the guys are like in their mid-20s, super fit and athletic. And then Joe is, you know, my age. And I felt pretty good that I was able to keep up for like 2 hours. It was very intense. But like when I go away and travel, I still try to do some kind of exercise. I'll bring my sneakers with me. I'll try to figure out something while I'm away, because I can't, it's not good for me to sit still.
Yeah. Or anybody.
No.
So you mentioned you went on your bucket list trip. What was that? Which one was that? Because you guys have traveled all over this year. I literally can't keep up.
It was Africa.
Okay. I was going to guess that, but I wanted you to say.
Oh my gosh, it was Africa. It's something that, and people are like, why is it your bucket list? I'm like, I don't even know. I've just had it in my mind for years that, you know, I've only ever seen animals truly when I go to the zoo. If you don't count like the squirrels and the birds I see in my backyard, maybe an occasional deer or turkey or snake. You know what I mean? Like, I just was really craving connection to something bigger and wanted to see animals in their own environment. It was just, it was a humbling experience. And I think that's what I was craving. Yeah.
You guys did the whole safari thing. Did you also sleep in tents out with the animals?
Yes. We so what I learned, we went to the Serengeti and I'm like, I kind of wish I had rewatched Lion King before I went, but I didn't. But there's something about going to this place that you've only ever heard about. And, you know, it's like, I'm here. This is what it means. We went just past the, their high season. So we had just missed the Great Migration. And because of that, they're considered their slow season. Where we ended up staying was on the Serengeti. And yes, they were tents. And what was crazy was because it was the slow season, when we showed up, we were the only ones that stayed at this camp. So like we had this whole crew there. Like, I mean, we're talking like there's a chef because they cook for you, right? And then there's the folks that are helping to clean the rooms. And there was like this whole staff, and we show up and we're like, where is everybody? And they're like, no, you're the only ones. And because there's no other people here, we're going to let your son go stay in his own tent. So my 16-year-old had his own tent, right?
It's amazing.
Right? And then as a mom, I'm thinking, but there's lions. So I had to really like, I mean, that's a real thing, you know, like being mama bear and being like, is my son okay? Like sleep, you know, and because, yeah, you could see just walking from the main, like where you would eat. Like the restaurant, I say restaurant, it's just like, it's like open air and some tables, the main lodge, if you will, and just walking down the path, there's all kinds of animal poop. There's like elephant dung. So these big, big animals go through, right? And we were eating dinner one night and we heard this noise. We're like, what is that? Like, oh, that's a hyena. We think it's over by the kitchen. I'm like, oh, okay. But the animals don't come up to the tents.
Okay.
That's what they say. But it was incredible.
And that's like one of the trips that I'd like to go on is specifically the African safari. So I love that you guys went there. And when you talk to people, they're like, be careful if you go and you stay in the tents because you're like with the animals.
Back to our original programming or whatever they used to say. Okay, let's just like, let me redirect my brain.
Yeah, right?
So that was wild. Okay, so obviously I don't think it's any coincidence or mistake that when you guys started getting like more personalized coaching, your business then also simultaneously had the best year ever, right? Like that's no mistake. What do you think really happened there? Other than you becoming aware of your trigger, right? Like what else happened?
Mm. We learned how we were getting in our own way and were able to stop blocking ourselves. And, you know, and then, so it was Joe and me at first that were becoming aware of the trauma and working with the coach, right? And trying to figure that out. Once we started to work on ourselves and then with each other, then that opened the door. Like, we're like, we've got to get other people in on this because what's the point if it's just him and me? So then we started identifying other people in the organization that we wanted to really invest the time in. And I'm not saying that we don't want to invest the time in everyone. It's just like, you can't do it all at once, right? We have to have priority and be methodical about it. And then we started bringing in people also to identify the traumas. Just once we could even identify the traumas and start becoming aware, then we were all able to kind of know that about one another and start to move forward. And now it is involved into like team coaching so that that way we're elevating, right? So it's all about growth and connection, and we have to elevate ourselves so that we can help elevate and empower others. And that's really what what the whole journey is, right? And we're really trying to build up other people and empower other people. Like, that's really what the path that we're on right now.
I love that. And again, like, no coincidence that you're simultaneously having or had the best year in business that you've ever have, right? That sounds like it breeds a very vulnerable and a positive way environment. Like, are you guys, like, how do you exchange your and identify your traumas with each other on the team to be able to use it in a productive manner to then go out and manifest more productivity and money?
That's a really great question because, well, first of all, you have to have a safe environment, right? And everyone has to be on the same page because it's not going to work if people are going to get whatever, ridiculed or fill in the blank negative reaction, right? And I don't even 100% fully know everyone's traumas per se, like the stories behind them, but necessarily. But we, I believe if you look at us now as a team versus where we were a year or further ago, we're much more in alignment with understanding what we're all good at and what are the areas of opportunity, which sometimes those tie in with traumas, right? And I think instead of berating ourselves with the trauma, trying to really focus on utilizing people's strengths, growing that aspect, and just knowing that we're all working on things and, you know, with the help of a team and coach in group settings, we're able to kind of work through some things.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I studied like family familiar dynamics, which is essentially, right, like the very quick version is our subconscious is programmed from 0 to 19 years of age, really 0 to 7-ish years, right? And so like, what was it programmed by? It was programmed by your family familiar dynamic, like what was going on during that time with your mom, your dad, or whoever was raising you, your primary caregivers. And that tends to breed your traumas is really just how we perceive things, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that they're true. And then I believe that you go and you then recreate it, right, in your grown-up life because, well, your brain's just trying to recreate what's familiar to it, right? It's literally the brain's job is to keep you safe and comfortable. But safe and comfortable to the brain is just what it knows. It doesn't know what it doesn't know. So even if it's healthy or not healthy, it's still just trying to recreate it and give you what's most familiar. And then I have this like belief that because I've been in an entrepreneur space for so long, that's how we attract our team members. So it's typically how you attract your mate, the person that you're with. It's usually your mother or your father. But then I also believe that that's how we attract like our teammates and how we attract like our C-suite, our people running our companies. And we're all just like feeding each other these like unhealthy triggers because we're really just, you're supposed to, the elevated state, I believe, is use it to learn from it, right? And learn from it to get out of that triggering state. And I find it interesting that you can watch an entrepreneur and a small business and a team meet year over year annually and create these audacious big goals. And every year they're at the same spot. And it's like, well, why is that? Why haven't you gone from 200 sales a year to 400 like you keep setting your goal to be? And I believe that we're all just in this cycle of like our family familiar dynamic within our team. That's like some of the ahas I've had. So what do you, like, where have you seen that to be true? Because you guys seem like you've broken that cycle to some extent, right? I mean, everybody has, growth is unlimited, right?
Yeah. So I totally get what you're saying from a that pattern, like you're in Groundhog Day. I can totally see that. As it relates to like sales and audacious goals, I just have to say, I'm just going to plug it. I'm proud of the team and where we are. We increased our freaking net profit 4x year over year from Q4 of 2024 over Q4 of 2023. So like, I'm pretty proud of that. It's pretty tremendous growth. I will say there is something here about watching the team dynamics. And it really is top down, really, right? It really is. What is the top dog's trauma? And what? Mm-hmm. How is that impacting? And so one of the first indications of this is, you know, like in this industry and in real estate investing, there's a bunch of folks that use like predictive index. Would you agree? Like that's a huge thing that runs. So one of the things that we found is, there is suggestions that, for example, salespeople, like a great sales profile would be a captain, for example, and that there are certain profiles that fit different jobs. And what we've personally found, we have a lot of altruists in our organization. And what we believe is happening is the team really has to gel with, again, top down, Joe top down, and like, so like what works on paper for some organizations is great, but I think there's a huge component of complementary personalities that needs to be taken into consideration. And that's what we've found is for us, because of all the personality like and trauma that's layered over top, we work best with different types of profiles seemingly than some of the other like on paper ways to do it. I feel like if we had a multiple choice test, like a pop quiz for the organization, and we put in maybe like the biggest area of opportunity for each individual, but didn't say their name and like listed out the traits and then listed out the people, I guarantee you we could all figure out, right, who it belongs to. Pros and cons, right? I think you want an organization to know, because knowledge is power. And then from that, you can figure it out. But yeah, I agree with you. There's patterns here, and we keep replaying them until there's awareness and action taken.
Yeah, I agree. And then like, as I've worked through it as well, I've learned that every single trigger reverts back to self-worth, right? Like you can boil every single thing back down to, well, it makes me feel like shit. And that's why it triggers the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And so it's like when I coach businesses and entrepreneurs, it's like, what can we do to, first of all, identify, because I think awareness is obviously the very first step. Like, how do you equate your self-worth? And how do we rewrite that equation so it's positive and serving to you? And how do we continue to elevate it, right? Like most people, when you ask them how they equate their self-worth or how do they identify their self-worth, most people either can't answer. And the people that can answer, 67% of the time, they say external things. My business is great. My car's luxury car, my whatever, right? All external things. And that's not what self-worth is. Self-worth is like, I am compassionate. I am empathetic. I am funny. I am whatever. I'm smart. Like whatever makes up you, right? So I, you know, like Candy, if you lost the company tomorrow and you didn't get to go on a fun vacation to talk about, like I'd still want to have a conversation with you because of the things that I listed in the beginning, right? Like you're empowering, you're a trailblazer in a male dominating industry, like you write like all those internal things. And I think like that's, if you could narrow all of it and forget everything, that's the biggest thing to work on.
I think that's super powerful, truly, because even as you were explaining that, and first of all, thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
So So I wish you could see my thought bubbles as they were happening, because I was very aware in the moment, even as you were saying that, my little negative Nelly talk was like with the trigger and the trauma is, okay, does Kate really mean that? Because that is my brain or my mind, right? Trying to put I don't believe it, right? Because I don't feel included. But it's so, but I'm aware of it. I'm like, no, shut up. You're not in the driver's seat. But yeah. I see.
And that's the conscious, that's your conscious awareness, like peeking out because you've learned to use it. Without that, without you practicing your conscious awareness of being like, no, that thought's not for me, right? You're able to say like, this is true. Like, and so, yeah, that's what I've like learned to boil it down. I spend like 2 years or 2.5 years just studying like this because I had to, because I like crash and hit a wall, right? In my like own entrepreneur space.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody does eventually in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you could see it through everything. Like if you start to look at the lens
mm-hmm.
that way, even with your team, right? Like why is this triggering them? Well, it makes them feel insecure, not confident enough. They don't think they're going to be able to close the sale, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, like how do we reinforce that? Well, in the mornings we can write like, I'm a high D, right? If you study the DISC personality, yeah. I'm like very direct and just like get to the freaking point.
Yeah.
Yep. So I just list out the things. I'm like, because I'm conditioning my mind, I'm working on conditioning my mind that none of the external things matter and all the internal things matter. And like, listen, I'm like step one of this, but I know that that's it. I like know that that's what I need to do. It's like, yes, you need to be aware of the trigger and like, how do you get mm-hmm. rid of it? But then also the trigger's just making you feel like crap. And so like, how do you build yourself up internally?
Yeah, honestly. And this is where it's like, I'm trying not to beat myself up because I feel like a little embarrassed that I'm like as old as I am learning about this stuff. Right. I mean, then I think, wow, what an incredible opportunity for, first of all, to learn this at any age and adopt it. But then the younger that you are to adopt it, man, just to sort of have cleared this out, because if you can figure this out, then it just paves the way for you. So for anybody at any age, just, I think it's pretty remarkable. Yeah,
I agree.
It's definitely a work in progress for me. Like it's, you know, what's your PI, Kate? What are you again?
A promoter, actually. I was a captain somehow, but then I've taken it recently and I'm back to promoter, which is a personality assessment. So yeah, I'm great at sales. Shocker.
I could definitely see that. It's super personable and, I could totally see that.
I'm like actually off the charts in extrovertness. I study the DISC mostly. So PI, it's adjustment for me to use that language, but, very interpersonal, social. Yeah. Off the charts. And then the other way I'm off the charts in structure, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Like off the charts in, it doesn't exist in my world.
No, I'm tracking, but that's great though. It's great. And it takes all kinds. And I mean, if you didn't see your extrovert, I'd be like something. Yeah. That's how I know you. That's mixed total.
Friends with everybody, literally can get along with anybody. And yeah. Yeah. Why do you ask that? Curious.
Because you talked about high D and then your just self-worth. I don't know, because I'm just trying to understand your perspective. You know?
I go very deep on certain subjects. Specifically, I've ever and only gone very deep in personal development, I'll classify it as, and like business. Like you could ask me anything on business and I will tell you what people have gone 60 years in their life to learn.
Okay.
And same thing with personality, mindset, the mind, how it works, very analytical on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very unique. I get very bored with surface level conversations, but anyway, this is not about me.
No, that's okay. I was just curious. No, that's, I could see that. You get bored with some of the surface stuff. Yeah, I hear you. I can get that way too sometimes.
I think like ever since I was 17, I could remember listening to like Tony Robbins and trying to understand like why people do the things that they do. And like that's rare and weird. Like what 17-year-old do you know is driving around listening to like Tony Robbins? That's what I was doing.
Of all the things you could be doing, that's what sets you apart and that's what puts you down this path. And that's why I think that, you know, you're a great coach because you're doing that and you're going deep in the subjects that matter.
Yeah, I think like, and I kind of ignored it for a while, the personal development and how it had anything related to entrepreneurship and business, we'll say. I like completely separated it out in my mind. It was like, this is one thing and this is over here in a different box. Mm-hmm. And as I've like learned and gone through things, I'm like, no, if anything, the business is in the personal development box, like not separate. So yeah, I've like learned to put it together.
Yep.
Completely off topic. Do you study anything in numerology?
Can't say that I do. Why?
Very interesting. If you like are ever bored one day, they say numerology exceeds astrology. Numerology like trumps astrology. Yeah, it's a wild road you could go down. But yeah. Essentially, like everything's made up of numbers, and the numbers have like a frequency to them, like an energy frequency to them. Uh-huh. And they have greater meaning and hold greater meaning and value over something like astrology. So, like the day that you open your business matters, the day that you get married could matter, like the different numbers mean something different. And just like personality assessments, numerology and astrology, numerology identifies, everybody has a life path number, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a 7, and depending on your birthday and the place that you were born, you have your own number. 0 or 1 to 9 are the numbers. And then that number has like a profile.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Now I want to know my number. I don't know. No, I mean, I've heard of astrology, of course, but no, not numerology. I mean, I've heard of it like as it relates to, I feel like there's some Chinese something where the numbers, but I don't think I've actually heard of this. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. I started to see, I'm telling you, I study some weird things. J.P. Morgan Chase has a quote and he says, millionaires don't study numerology, billionaires do.
Interesting.
And after like 3 times of seeing this, I was like, what does this mean? And so I started to study it. So yeah, there's like a calculator and you can go on and do it in like 30 seconds for free. And it's very interesting. You'd find it fascinating because it's like analytical stuff.
Mm-hmm. So like this, whatever your numbers are, have they proved true with, I mean, are they insightful in some way?
Yeah, it's like, you know, in whatever astrology you are, like I'm a Capricorn and that's means like business, or that means like goal oriented and whatever other traits they categorize that with. It's like similar to numerology's number.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
But then you can go down this like very long rabbit hole because like the house that you live in is considered a number. And then it's like you have numbers that are complementary to your number and then also numbers that are not. And so, you know, as you can imagine, that could go on and on and on.
Interesting. I will say like when Joe and I got married, I was very, very like insistent that it had to be the first of the month. Like I just felt really strongly that it had to be. So I am really curious now to kind of go back and see what all that means. It's interesting.
Yeah. Let me know how you interpret it. Cause it's,
I'll check it out.
A wild rabbit hole you could go down.
I will say this, the yoga teacher training that I'm in is really, expanding my mind, and I'm learning about different things. I feel as though primarily I'm pretty pragmatic and I'm pretty like black and white and pretty much like in it for the physicality of yoga, right? And the mental, because I feel as though yoga is a moving meditation. But then there are sort of offshoots of yoga, of the physical asanas, where it could float over to like there could be like Ayurvedic, or there could be like Reiki and energy kind of. So, you know, it, and then the chakras, right? So I am learning about them, but I'm still like, oh, but it's not concrete or scientifically proven, but yet people believe it. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. I don't know. It's interesting. Like I like learning about it, but I'm still totally like on the fence and just trying to like, not shutting it down, but like just trying to be open and experience.
Yeah.
It is a whole new world.
Yeah, it really is. I totally agree. Like, and also, why does nobody teach you about this? And why have you gone so long in an entrepreneurial space and not learned it? Because it's so helpful and insightful. And I believe that it could take you to like trajectories that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know, a couple classes ago, we were even learning about like, have you ever like injured your body like on the same side over and over? And if so, that means something. And I'm like, what? Ooh. And so, you know, what it connects to, it's really interesting, conceptually.
So if you think that's interesting, you have to get this book. It's by Louise Hay, and it's called You Can Heal Your Life.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm writing this down.
And I literally carry this around.
Okay.
Because listen, you can say like, give me some ailment that you have, and you look up in the back, like, let's say you're having sinus problems. Okay. And then it says flip to page 125, and then they'll tell you like how your internal thoughts are creating and manifesting this ailment. Dis-ease is mm-hmm. in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll give you like the positive affirmation. So it like tells you to become aware of like what could be holding you back by your negative mm-hmm. thoughts. And mm-hmm. then like giving you the positive affirmation to like change your way of thinking to get rid of it.
I love it. All right.
Isn't that crazy?
You can heal your life. Yeah. All right. You mentioned things to say. I legit have. So in my yoga class too, we had to like close your eyes and pick a stone out of a bowl. Okay. And keep doing it until like you get one you want. And so like, I picked this little, it's black. I don't even know what it is, but, and then you write a little mantra down. And, so like I choose to be happy and attract joy as one of them. So like, I'm kind of on this little, that's kind of like what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? So, but I like the concept of it's specific to the ailment. So you could like, is that what I'm getting? Depending on what's wrong. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Isn't it? Don't you love it? I literally carry it around. And so I'll like overhear people talking right on the phone or whatever. And I'm like, oh, they have, you know, anemia. Let me look it up in the book. Like, let me know what's real. Like, I want to know what's really going on. I don't want to write like that's just the surface. You think you have anemia and like you're going to talk right. about it and whatever. Like, you're going to talk about the pills that you're taking from the grocery store or whatever. Like, I want to know what's actually causing it. And like, if they're open, I'll tell them. And some people aren't, and that's fine. But most people, I'm like, you got to get this book right now. It's amazing.
That is interesting. Yeah. So, it's like a frequency thing?
Man, I think everything's energy and frequency now that I've like studied and learned it. But yeah, I guess you could say that. It's like your thoughts can create and or destroy, right? Like the good or the bad. So you can like, and our thoughts also create everything on our physical reality. So everything that you see around you, you've created, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Okay. That is a concept just last year. Okay. Trying to think of the name of the book. She's got several books out. I think the first one was maybe The Secret, and I think this is The Power. I've got to Google this.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
So the second one, or to me, it's like the second one to me, this The Power, it is about the frequency, and it's about like saying, like the mantras that you say and the thoughts that you think, it's like what you attract. So if I think, oh, I'm terrible at this, I'm terrible at that, like I'm attracting it. But if I think positive thoughts and or whatever it is, then I will attract that and be in alignment with that. Which I did a terrible job of explaining, but
no, that's it.
But it kind of comes back to like your mind is super powerful, and I truly believe there is such a thing as behavior contagion. Where, so, and I'm going to botch the study, but for example, there was a study where there was folks at an airport, and they would plant somebody to test this. And so if you're at the airport at the counter and you just tell one guy to, hey, just act impatient and watch what happens if you start. You know, like you look at your watch, you're fidgeting your foot. You're like, ugh, you know, you're visibly acting out impatience, right? And then you start to see the people around and after so many minutes, how many people it impacts, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, that's more in your face because you can see the behaviors, right? But so like, if you take it back a layer, the way I think of it is it's the same concept, but like energetically.
Yeah.
So if you're putting out, like, I don't want, like, get away from me, like, you annoy me or whatever it is, like, it's behavior contagion, I think. So
no, you're totally right.
Something to it.
Yeah. So your Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a lot. He speaks about how your thoughts create your emotions and then how your emotions create like your physical reality around you, obviously. So if you're having negative thoughts, you're going to have negative emotions, which is going to then, you know, you're going to attract negative people at the grocery store helping you out versus the happy person next door. Right. Mm-hmm. And the thoughts are frequencies. The thoughts like are your frequencies, whether good mm-hmm. or bad.
Mm-hmm. I would say that like this for me is something that I am working on. Like this is a work in progress. Like this is not easy for me, but it's huge. I know if I can figure this out, it'll just continue to open doors for me. But yeah, for anybody else who's struggling with it, it can be tough, especially if you've lived a lifetime telling yourself certain things. It can be hard to change, you know?
Yes. I think until you're like consciously aware of them. And then it's just like, give me the tools to like get me out of this cycle. Right. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. But just like anything else in life, it's behavior, and it's like flossing your teeth. Like it's something that you just keep doing and keep trying, and like you have to keep at it and be consistent, truly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's like, I think what's powerful about the morning routine and sort of like listing out in my world, listing out your self-worth, what could make up your self-worth equation. And it's like so small, but if you do it consistently, could like change the day, and then like those days start compounding. And the next thing you know, you had a great month, and then you had a great, you know, quarter, et cetera. Like none of that's by accident.
I like your idea of the whole self-worth thing. Like I'm thinking about like, as I'm like journaling, and I'm very pragmatic with my like behavior things, right? The journal's really cool. It's from Best Self. It is a cool journal, but like, I do think like, well, how can I modify that slightly to be a little less pragmatic? And maybe it's an emotion. Like, how do I want to feel at the end of the day? Or how do I determine my self-worth? Like maybe there's some way I can infuse that into it. So it's not so darn type A.
Yeah, like you don't have to answer this if you don't want, but if someone was to ask you like, Candy, like how do you define yourself? What are the top like 3 to 5 things that come to mind? What characteristics come to mind? And are any of them internal or all of them external accomplishments?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, all of those external things can be taken away. And then it's like, what are you left with?
Yourself. Yeah. Yeah, well, you've led the witness a little, so.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, I mean, self-worth, like I believe if anybody who knows me would say that, like I'm loyal and reliable. Like if I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And I am productive. Like I get shit done.
Yeah, you do.
So I don't know. I don't know though if that, you know.
Yeah. And then it's like, how do you continue to grow that list, right? Because there are more than 2 to 3 things that make up who you are as a human.
Right.
I mean, like when I was first asked a couple of years ago, I had nothing. I literally could not think of anything.
Really?
I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. I've never been asked that, first of all.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Can you say that again?
I've never been asked that, first of all.
Oh. See, I know you. I mean, I know you from, I mean, professionally, right? And I see you at events and stuff. So, I mean, I wish I knew you more, but I know you enough, right? That I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm confident in what I do in like a business sense.
Yeah.
But as far as like who I am, you know, a couple years ago, who I am as like a human being without the business accomplishments, like, nah, couldn't think of anything. It took me months.
So, So now you have an answer, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, like I'm still actively practicing, but yes, I can. And like, I spoke about this at a conference the other day. And it was the first time I spoke about it. And by the way, Candy, speaking of this book, I got laryngitis before. Never in my life have I ever gotten laryngitis. So I flipped my book. And it's like, oh, what are you not talking about that you should be talking about? And it was like, I think, right, in some universal way, like this. Like I've never spoken about this. And I was speaking about it in public. And like, that's frightening to me.
Yeah. That's very telling that of all the things in your body that could choose to freeze up, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know, to me, that's kind of telling. That's.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, like, could you imagine? Have you ever had laryngitis, by the way?
I have not, so I yet no.
You completely lose your voice. You have no voice.
That's frustrating. Yeah.
Could you imagine a salesperson not having a voice? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was very upsetting. But anyway, I got my voice back the day before and I spoke about it. But yeah, I believe if we could all slowly start to work on it, then we could all have very different lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So ponder on it. Let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you guys are up north in the cold.
Yes.
How can, like, if people have interest in real estate investing or marketing and operations, which you are a guru in the real estate investing space, like, how do they find you?
Well, so you can find us at ipscash.com. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook, Candy Osborne. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just do the little Google, Candy Osborne or IPS Cash. IPS previously stood for Inherited Property Solutions, and we just shortened it, IPS Cash. So you can just check us out, find us on the interwebs. We've got a Facebook group. If you're doing any kind of deals in New Hampshire or Massachusetts, it's NHNMA Real Estate Collective. You can come find us in that group there. To give us a Google.
Oh, I love that. And then y'all, you know, get to hang out and learn from the best.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, take it.
All right. I'm learning. I'm learning, Kate.
Accept it. Okay. Well, today was very wonderful and enjoying for me. Thank you.
It was fun. Thank you, Kate. There's not many people that I would just show up for without a plan or script, but I know you and I know that you would make it fun and you would make it feel like it was totally cool. So I appreciate the opportunity, Kate. Thank you.
I appreciate you trusting me because I do know you and you do not like that. And I'm like, no, trust me. It'd be fine.
It's all good. It's all good.
I loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate you. Thank you.